Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Quite frankly, kids these days don't even remember where food came from. You ask them where it came from and they say the grocery store, and they really don't have any concept of where it came before.
The USC campus community gets a taste of where food actually comes from. Good afternoon and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 27th, 2008. I'm Courtney Cabot. The Los Angeles Times is in hot water after being forced to retract a story. The story, which appeared in last week's paper, implicated Sean Diddy Combs in the 1994 shooting of rapper Tupac Shakur. The Smoking Gun website discovered it was based on forged documents. USC journalism professor Bryce Nelson thinks this could hurt the newspaper's reputation.
So I think the more sophisticated readers said, well, this is a newspaper that's willing to acknowledge mistakes, and we can trust them because they will acknowledge their mistakes. But I think the average reader said, well, it just proves that newspapers can't get anything right. The media can't get anything right.
Times reporter Chuck Phillips and his editors apologized in today's paper for the inaccurate story. Authorities are investigating the cause of three explosions that killed a Los Angeles firefighter and seriously injured another in Westchester. City firefighter Brent Lovrian died yesterday of injuries from the third explosion. Fire engineer Anthony J. Guzman is in serious but stable condition at the UCLA Medical Center. The cause of the explosions appears to be electrical, but FBI agents and local officials continue to investigate. Orange County officials have arrested the so-called Scarface Bandit. He is accused of repeatedly robbing 10 Citibanks and the Bank of West branches. The suspect wore a bandage on his left cheek during some of the robberies, which is how he got his name. The FBI says the bandit's last robbery was on March 12th at a Citibank in Orange. He is also linked to 9 more robberies in 2007. Union organizers are launching a campaign to promote better pay and better working conditions for car wash workers in the Los Angeles area. An investigation published in the Los Angeles Times on Sunday exposed how car wash owners flout state labor laws and pay workers less than half of minimum wage. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we hear from car wash workers and owners about labor conditions. A pit bull was the star attraction this morning at an event to discourage dog fighting. The dog had been rescued from a fighting ring. As Ryan McAllister reports, the Humane Society is offering rewards to people who turn in dog fighting rings.
District Attorney Steve Cooley joined the Humane Society of the United States today to call for a crackdown on illegal dogfighting and other animal cruelty. Cooley took the opportunity to address the many crimes done to animals in these often undetected activities. Cooley praised the effort of the LAPD to combat this criminal subculture. He said that bringing awareness to the public is the next step in finding justice for these animals.
We have to acknowledge that in the last year, there's been tremendous improvements in this area. LAPD started, has led the way with the Animal Cruelty Task Force here in the city of Los Angeles. We have been obtaining very serious prison time for some of these cases, sending a message.
Humane Society Director Eric Sakich said elements in rap music are subjecting children to the idea that dogfighting is a glamorous business.
So, you know, when you're talking about most kids, they're not going to take that stuff to heart. But when you talk about kids who are growing up disadvantaged in underprivileged areas, who don't have a good father figure, they frequently see some of these characters as providing some answers to how to get rich.
Sakich also said that the arrest of football star Michael Vick has finally brought these crimes to the attention of the public. He has developed a program that offers rewards of up to $5,000 for tips, leading to the arrest and conviction of those involved with fighting animals for sport. Ryan McAllister, Annenberg Radio News.
Southern California Edison today gave details about its plan to build the largest solar installation project in the country. The project will use 65 million square feet of unused commercial buildings' rooftops to achieve California's renewable energy goals. Governor Schwarzenegger joined Edison officials in Fontana today for the announcement.
When it's complete, it will produce enough power for 162,000 homes. It is electricity, by the way, that is produced without any emitting any greenhouse gases, no transmission lines, and no fossil fuel. This program will help us achieve our goal, which is to have 20% of renewable by the year 2010.
Edison plans to begin installing solar cells immediately in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. They could start producing energy by August of this year. A possible revision to the state's auto emissions program by California air regulators has environmentalists, health advocates, and some politicians crying foul. The potential change by the California Air Resources Board would cut the number of battery-powered and hydrogen vehicles that automakers must produce for California and 10 other states. Critics claim the demands of global warming mean that now is not the time for the states to relax its rules. 50 college students from across California gave up their regular spring break destinations to trek from San Diego to San Francisco. It's an effort to call attention to support of a new high-speed train. Caitlin Fenaro has the story.
I just thought that I could use my time better doing something that would actually make a difference than just hanging out.
That's UC Santa Cruz student Laura Larson-Cody. She and 50 other students involved with the California Public Interest Research Group spent their spring break traveling across the state by car and bike. They were following the proposed route of a new high-speed rail line. They say it will be a good move for California.
So the idea is it would cut down on all kinds of pollution, it would cut down on all kinds of, like, congestion, and as our state expands and we have more people, we're going to need better transportation. Like, that's just the reality of it.
According to the California High-Speed Rail Authority, building the line would eliminate pollution from 15 billion miles of car travel and save up to 22 million barrels of oil a year. The students held news conferences along the way about the benefits of the line, but don't feel bad they missed spring break. They still managed to fit in some fun along the way.
You know, I've always wanted to go on a road trip, and this has been a ton of fun, and I really wouldn't have wanted to do Cabo or anything like that instead. This is like, it's just great.
In November, voters will decide on a $10 billion bond measure to fund the proposed train. Caitlin Fenaro, Annenberg Radio News.
Looking at the weather for tonight and tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with cool but comfortable temperatures. The weekend looks clear and sunny with highs in the low 70s and lows in the 50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a labor expert speaks about the effects of unions on consumers and business operators. The landscape along Pico Boulevard between Crenshaw and La Brea just became a little nicer for area residents. Reporter Sonata Lee has the details.
The Los Angeles Public Works Department, Councilman Herb Wesson, and Pico area residents celebrated the beautification of the mile-long corridor between Crenshaw Boulevard and La Brea Avenue. Councilman Wesson used gigantic yellow scissors to cut a ribbon stretching across Pico Boulevard and Victoria Avenue. Wesson said the enhancement effort will help make people feel more welcome in the community.
Our main corridors are like the front door of your home. And if you have a good-looking front door, people want to come in, and we want people to come in to our community.
The improvements along Pico include flowers and trees planted in street median islands, new trash receptacles, painted traffic signal poles, and new disabled access ramps. Area resident Betty thanked the city for beautifying the neighborhood.
The residents of Pico Boulevard and the business people, as long as Victoria Park, Olympic Neighborhood Council, and Mid-City are so happy to have this new project complete, looking good, and making Pico Boulevard come alive again.
Wesson says that the benefit of beautifying the street is more than visual.
It helps with the environment because we're planting trees. It makes it safer because we've got new access ramps so people in wheelchairs can get in and out. Our whole goal and focus is to get more people out of their cars and walking up and down the streets.
The city plans to continue the Pico Street enhancement west to Fairfax Boulevard. After Pico Boulevard, Wesson says he intends to enhance the same stretch along Washington Boulevard. Wesson says that the revitalization of Pico near Fairfax helped make this effort happen.
We then found more money so that we could go west of La Brea, which is where you see the bulk of the new trendy restaurants and businesses.
Construction on the $875,000 Pico Enhancement Project began last August. Funding was provided by the MTA and the City of Los Angeles. Sonata Lee, Annenberg Radio News.
What would residents of South Los Angeles like to change about their neighborhoods? Brian Sika walked around this afternoon and asked that question.
having not so many liquor stores.
So if I could change something, I think I would change where people can park.
A little less congestion, maybe a little bit better public transportation.
Better businesses along the Figueroa Corridor and reinvigorating the neighborhood.
Well, to fix the streets better.
Probably not. I like it. I live downtown, it's changing every day.
More trees. I'd plant more trees.
The security and stuff, and all the violence going on.
Make everybody go to school. Okay. Everybody.
You know what it would be? It would be sidewalks and more people outside, just being a neighborhood. You know,
the periphery of it. There's a lot of homeless people, and I don't want to see them not there. I would just like some sort of resolution.
I really think they should do something about gang rivalry and recent killings that have happened with the young people.
People that the neighborhood was cleaner and more. More houses that were beautifuler.
Long hours, low pay, no health care. Those are some of the grievances alleged by car wash employees. David DeSola looks at what car washers are doing with the help of unions like the AFL-CIO to try to improve their working conditions.
Car washes are big business in Los Angeles County, where owners declared more than $250 million in revenue in 2002. But a recent investigation by the Los Angeles Times revealed how some car washes violate labor and immigration laws by hiring undocumented workers and paying them less than minimum wage.
Si se puede, si se puede, si se puede, si se puede, si se puede.
Jose Torres and Pedro Guzman have several years of experience working at the Vermont Car Wash in Los Angeles. They told reporters at a press conference today that they're not happy with their working conditions and are organizing their co-workers with help from unions like the AFL-CIO. Jose Torres.
We use very strong chemicals on the job, like acid and yellow soap. My hands burn pretty often. They don't give us any protection, no gloves or a mask. I work with my bare hands, as you see me right now. They haven't trained us or given us any information about the chemicals we use. We have human rights. We make a lot of money for the bosses, but we get humiliation and exploitation in return.
Pedro Guzman.
Many of them are working for $10 a day, for $40 a day. Some only work for tips. We just want the rights that all workers have, to be paid for the hours we work, to get a break for lunch, and above all, to be treated with respect as workers.
Frank Phelan owns several car washes in California and Arizona. He thinks the LA Times article was an overstatement that focused only on a few renegades in the industry.
Well, those car washes should be put out of business who do that. You know, it's just not the right way to treat people. You know, there's a minimum wage, and we all have to function under the law, pay the minimum wage, and that's what we should do. And that's to say, most car washes I know do that.
I went to the Manchester car wash this afternoon, which, according to the LA Times, gave workers more than $14,000 in back wages. For $6, my car was given an exterior wash, which car wash owner Frank Phelan says is about average. Former State Assembly member Jackie Goldberg says that unusually low prices are a red flag that working conditions at the car wash are not good.
That if they're charging less than $8 or $9 for your car to be washed, don't go there. It's the old line. So my father used to tell me, if the deal is too good to be true, it's not true. So, you know, if it's too cheap, don't go there.
Labor activists call car wash employees among the most exploited in Los Angeles and the United States. David DeSola, Annenberg Radio News.
Today I talked with labor law expert Alec Levinson about the effects the car wash union may have on employees, business operators, and consumers. How is it going to affect the employees of the car wash to join a union?
When people are not part of a union in environments like the car washes, where many of them may, it sounds like a number of the people who work in the car washes are illegal, and you know many other people I'm sure are not. But that's one of the issues that the car wash owners apparently use to create conditions that may not be in the workers, you know, may not be ideal for the workers, that if there were a union there that could be looking out for the interests of all workers, then that this threat of having substandard wages, of being able to skirt labor regulations would be taken away because the union would be able to make sure that those are enforced for the workers.
for the people that are employed, if this does pass and they do join, they do start a union, what's going to change?
Well, what would change is that in cases where the employers are doing things that are inappropriate, that they're not supposed to do because of labor laws, that the union would be able to fight on behalf of the employees without the employees being afraid of retribution from the employer for doing so. That's the reason why unions exist.
How do unions affect business operators and consumers financially?
They usually make it more expensive to employ people because they can effectively bargain for higher wages. They can make it, you know, harder for an employer to work people in ways that the employees don't want to be worked, which means that you either have to hire more people or you have to pay them more, you know, for more overtime, things like that. And so, I mean, any time you limit the options that employers have for how they can hire, how they can use the workers that they hire, and what kinds of wages that they can pay them, you make it more expensive to run a business.
Alec Levinson is a research scientist for the Center of Effective Organizations and a professor at USC Marshall School of Business. Local farmers gathered today on USC's campus as part of a monthly market geared toward providing students and the surrounding community with healthy dining options. Jean-Luc Renaud has the story.
Although USC's tanned and toned student body is as much a bastion of fitness as Tommy Trojan's washboard abs, the campus is pretty barren when it comes to offering fresh produce. That's why a monthly farmers market that debuted in February is taking root on McCarthy Quad. At the Trojan Fresh Market, shoppers from on and off campus can buy fresh fruits, vegetables, breads, flowers, and other snacks direct from local farmers. Students can also use their meal plan dollars. Kelly Gerskis holds a bag of heirloom oranges as she peruses the diverse choice of produce at other stalls.
There's not a lot of fresh produce on campus, so for this to come, it's exciting.
The market is temporary, but could become a more permanent fixture if there is enough interest. Molly Jean of Harry's Berries Farm in Oxnard hopes that's the case.
I think this is really a wonderful, worthwhile project. I think that, especially in this day and age where there's more drive-through than fine dining.
She says buying from local farmers is beneficial for everyone.
It's good for the community. It's good for the farmers. It's a win-win situation.
Organizers say the market will return at the end of next month. Jean-Luc Renaud, Annenberg Radio News.
A bill to increase access to breast cancer screenings among low-income, uninsured women in California passed a Senate Health Committee vote today. Los Angeles State Senator Gil Cedillo authorized the bill, sponsored by the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation. The bill will expand age eligibility for screenings to address the increasing number of younger women who are diagnosed with breast cancer every year. More than 25,000 women are diagnosed with the disease every year in California. More than 4,000 of them do not survive. And now we... Now we check in with Kelly Fisher to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. How are you today, Kelly?
Doing good. Tonight at 6, we're going to bring you the latest on the investigation into the explosion in Westchester that left one firefighter dead and another injured. Plus, you can hear from other firefighters who knew the fallen firefighter. Also coming up, meet the girl who brought the farmers market to campus in our Trojans Making a Difference.
Thanks, Callie. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Camille Mann and Brian Sika. Kiara Kanzi is our producer. Matt Mundy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Courtney Cabot.